Hold on to your seats and noses, folks, because you're listening to the No Farting Around Show, where we're all about taking your marketing from the toilet to the bank. I'm your host, Ashley Mae Fernandez, and each episode I plunge into the depths of marketing to bring you fresh perspectives that are deadly but not silent. So if you're ready to stop farting around and make your profits rip, let's cut to the cheese and get on with the show. Just a forewarning, I am fired up today. I will probably say a few curse words on this episode. So here's your disclaimer for potty mouth. If you got the kids in the car, put your headphones in, turn off the episode and listen to it later. Okay, just wanted to forewarn because I'm not trying to have you blame me for your six-year-old saying the F-bomb in the back seat of the car. Again, I don't really say the F-bomb that much, but I'm so fired up, I might do it today. Okay, guys. What am I fired up about? I am fired up about sales, and not a good way. I am fired up because I really truly think that the way people sell or the way that sales is being taught really needs to change. I feel in the past, sales and marketing has been very me focused. It's been very much, here's how I made all the money. Or you jump on a sales call and it's how can I make the sale? And then you go back to your coach and you tell your coach if that person said no, oh, it makes it mean something about you that your offer is not good or you're not a good coach. No, it could just mean that person just doesn't want to make the decision at this moment and have nothing to do with you and everything to do with them. And that is okay. But I think that sales and marketing has been very me focused. And if you look a couple, probably 5-10 years ago, the entrepreneurial space. I've been in this entrepreneurial space for about 8 years now. So when I first started, it was a lot of the bro marketers. It was a lot of the, look at my flashy car, look at how much money I've made. I created this hour-long webinar and I just made all these ads and all this traffic to it and blah, 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 right? Or these very harp on pain point type of marketing or this rags to riches type of story. Don't even get me started on the rags to riches. But that is the way that the market and sales have been. Now, what I think we're shifting more into, and which the cosmos would agree with me, is that Pluto is switching into Aquarius, right? It retrograded back into Capricorn till the end of the year, and then it's going back into Aquarius. And Aquarius is the very big disruptor. I am an Aquarius moon. If you really know me one-on-one, really close, you will see that. You will see that Aquarius moon. You will see the fighting for the underdog. You will see the very kind of weird guys. I'm weird. And I used to really hate claiming that. I used to try to fit in. I was a head cheerleader in high school. I always wanted to be part of the group. I morphed myself. And as I've gotten older, I've really stepped away from that and owning that. No, I'm flipping weird. I have a podcast called the No Freaking Farting Around Show. Come on now. I'm owning that weird. And Aquarius energy is also very much we energy. It's humanity. It's collective. It's how are you bettering yourself and what you do to benefit others? And I really think this is shifting. And I am going to be here to be the trailblazer for it because I just really, truly believe in this. So why I'm so fired up today, and I'm not going to call this person out. I'm not going to name them by name. I'm just going to talk about a situation that happened. And I was over here boxering my friend, Rachel. Oh my God, let me tell you. Anyway, so I'm like, I'm going to go do a podcast episode about it. I was not even showered. I had to go jump in the shower. I need to put on makeup. I have greasy bedhead. And I was like, I need to go jump in the shower and get somewhat decent to go record this podcast episode because I'm not fired up about it. And as I was in the shower, I was thinking of all these things I was going to say. And I was talking out loud in the shower. I'm like, actually, stop. No, you got to save it. You got to save it for the podcast. So I was on Facebook and I saw someone post, I'm not going to read the exact post, I'm just going to give the gist of it. They were talking about how they absolutely could not stand the objection, let me think about it. And I looked up their profile and they are a sales rep for a very large guru person that I actually do not like whatsoever, which was ironic. Like, why am I friends with this person? I wonder when we became friends on Facebook, but it was very much talking about, and it wasn't bashing. It was just more of them saying how they really did not like that objection and they had no idea how to overcome that objection. And they were asking help on how to overcome that objection. And then they threw in the end of, I just want you to know that if you have a hard time with this objection, you're not alone type thing. So it wasn't a rude screw people who say this objection, but it was more of a, I really want to overcome this objection. Now, if you're new around here, welcome. And I'm going to forewarn you, most everything I believe or everything I say is really, truly opposite of mainstream. Okay, so I want to forewarn you with that. And I want to please ask you to keep an open mind and really ask yourself, how can what I'm saying be true? Instead of just immediately dismissing me, which is probably fine too. If you want to immediately dismiss me, cool, I'm not your person, that's fine. Please go find the person who is. I want you to learn from someone who you are jiving with and you're vibing with, and that's perfect. If it's not me, that's fine. I still support you. Cool, right? But I want to just ask you to keep an open mind, because I will tell you, a lot of the times when I am talking, if you are my right person, if you are the person who is looking for change and you're looking to attract clients that you absolutely love to work with, if you're looking to make business, marketing, sales a lot flipping easier and fun, right? Marketing and sales should be fun. It should be an expression of you and who you are and what you do. And I will say, a lot of my clients tend to be the go-getters, right? And a lot of the times the go-getter energy gets in the way of their fun, creative play, which is my favorite thing, which is hello, no farting around show. So I bring that out in people, but I will say that sometimes when I'm talking, it just hits you like a ton of bricks and you're, oh my gosh, this is so refreshing. What a breath of fresh air, haha, pun intended. So I'm just going to say, keep it open mind. Okay, now that I've said all that, the guy that posted this basically was saying this, right? And all of these people, I just started reading the comments because in my mind, in my opinion, like I said, my opinion is very, and again, these are also my opinions. This is what's worked for me, is worked for my clients. So again, it is an opinion. It's not, I do not believe in black or white, yes or no. It's an opinion, right? But I truly believe that there is a huge difference between an objection and a decision. And I'm going to talk about that. And I also believe that quote unquote, I'm doing quote unquote, objections aren't really relevant if you've done enough work in your marketing. Now, I'm going to explain all of this, but I will just tell you, I'm going to keep telling this story. I started reading all the comments and everyone was, oh my gosh, yes, I hate this objection. And they, some people were hating on people who make this objection and they're, yeah, I don't even bother with those people because they don't, they're not even my ideal client, which is true. Sure, they're probably not. That's fine. However, again, let's get away from the me energy and get on the we energy and question maybe why, but we'll get there. But all these things in the comments. So I will have that I am the person who will always say, let me think about it. I don't make decisions on the spot. Why? Because I am an emotional authority in human design. Did I used to make decisions on the spot all the time? Hell yes. Did I regret almost every single one of those decisions? Hell yes. Was it a hell yes in the moment when I made the decision? Yes. Was it a hell yes after I made that decision the next day? No. And I spent my entire life making quick decisions because every single business guru out there told me that people who are leaders make quick decisions. I don't believe that. I sometimes think when you make a quick decision, you're making it out of an emotional response that is not positive, and you're making it out of an emotional fear, right? And it could be really exciting, heck yes, but then again, you'll probably regret it afterwards. Now, most of us growing up, let's bring in our nervous system for a second. Most of us growing up were probably drilled into us by our parents to make up our minds and quickly on their timeline. I'll give you a great example of this because I'm a mom. And I tell you what, my daughter is 5 years old. My oldest is 5. And I swear to God, she is the most indecisive person. But I have had to, she's also an emotional authority like me. I've had to step back and really honor that it takes her time to make a decision. So if she's going to pick her clothes out at night and she's really excited to wear that dress to school tomorrow and she wakes up in the morning and she's not feeling that dress, even though we picked it out and we laid it out the night before, I need to honor that she is, that it is okay to change her mind, right? And that's very frustrating as a parent. Think about going to the ice cream shop. This has happened more than once. Going to the ice cream shop and she decides she wants birthday cake ice cream. The guy scoops it and then she's like, no, wait, mommy, I don't want birthday cake ice cream. I want vanilla ice cream. And then my nervous system immediately gets flustered and frustrated because I'm like, you just had this guy scoop this freaking scoop of ice cream and now you don't want it. No, you can't change your mind. You're going to eat that ice cream. And then what ends up happening is if I did do that and I made her eat that ice cream, she's going to get angry. She's going to get mad about it. And I, on my side, am over here thinking, this person scooping this ice cream is going to judge me and is going to think I'm a bad parent and that my kid's a spoiled brat because I'm letting my child change her mind. Think of that idiocy right there. But that's what's been drilled into us, right? I remember being a child and getting screamed at, hurry up, make your decision, right? Picking out my shoes, hurry up, make a decision. And then I would get flustered. And so then the rest of my life, I felt I had to make a quick decision or I was going to upset my parent or I was going to upset others or other people were going to think negatively about me. They were going to think I'm flaky, indecisive. No, I am actually made to sleep on it. I am actually made to ride my emotional wave as a human design emotional authority. And a lot of people in the coaching entrepreneurial spaces are emotional authorities. A lot of them, because we have emotional empathy for people. We are very in tune with our emotions and people need that. We make very great coaches. We make very great marketers and sellers. So you need to assume that your clients might also be an emotional authority. And if they're not, you also still need to consider their emotions. So I don't know where I was going out on that tangent. I had to loop back around, but I am an emotional authority. Oh, yes. Okay. So I posted a different perspective because I wanted to give the perspective of someone who does give that quote unquote objection. I don't see it as an objection. So I replied, and again, I'm paraphrasing. I said, hi, I am someone who actually says this on every sales call that I've ever been on. And I don't see it as an objection. I see it as a decision. Because I want you guys to think about this. People think a decision on a sales call is either a yes or a no. You have to give me a yes or a no right now. You can't give me a maybe. You can't give me, I can't think about it. You can't give me, I need to ask my spouse. You can't give me any of those things because those are not an acceptable decision or they're just not a decision at all. They're not, but they are a decision. I can decide to think about it. It is a decision, right? It is a decision. And so I said that. I said, I don't see it as an objection. I see it as a decision because as an emotional authority in human design, I have to ride my emotional wave. And it is a way to honor me being able to really have a hell yes today and tomorrow and the next day when investing a large amount of money and investing my very precious time. And yeah, I don't remember what else I said, but something I said that around the lines of that. And I think I maybe have said something else around that. Oh, yes, because he was talking about coaching them on the call. And I said, now, contrary to what most people in the sales industry teach, I believe that a sales call is not the time to coach someone on an objection. And you might be hearing that and being, wait a minute, wait a hot second. I have always been told that if you need to coach people, you need to understand them. The point on a sales call is to get a sale. Yeah. And how sleazy does that fucking sound? Sorry, the F-bomb came. How sleazy does that sound? You on the receiving end, how would you feel if you got on a call and it really was this, okay, I'm a yes right now, but I am a yes, but I'm only 95% there. I need to maybe go look at my finances. Or one, I might need to just get off the call, period, because I'm going to be late picking up my kids. You don't know. You really don't know. But what if you were that person and all of a sudden that coach or that person you were on the sales call with was, why do you think it's too expensive? Tell me about that. Or this is my, ooh, I've had this happen on a sales call and I immediately just ended the Zoom. I was like, no, thank you. Basically, I said, I need to think about it. And they said, think of a purple elephant. And I was like, okay, and how long did it take you to do that? And I just looked at them and they were like, it doesn't take time to think about it. And I said, goodbye. And I hung up the Zoom and blocked them on all social media because how horrible does that make you feel or make you sound? Okay, now let's keep going. So of course, I don't think this dude really liked my response. And I even ended it very nicely. And I said something along the lines of, because something in his post, he was saying, I don't think I'm the best sales coach, or I don't think I'm the best seller, but I'm constantly working on it and trying to improve it. And the fact that he even posted that post, right, to me, really did on one hand show that he was trying to understand why people said that. But was he trying to understand why people said that to better understand them? Or was he trying to understand why they said that so he could better understand how to sell them? Does that make sense? One is very them focused. One is very him focused. And so I ended it with, by the way, I think you're a better seller than you give credit for, because this post is evidence of that, right? This post evidence of you asking this question is evidence, because in my mind, I had to assume the best of people, and I assumed he was asking so that he could better understand the person, right? Not better understand the objection so he can overcome it. Make sense? Yes. Okay, let's keep going. He didn't like that very much. And I could tell in his response, which is so funny because this is exactly how energy works and that perception is projection, you could tell that he really did have a fear of being wrong. Right? I could see it. It reeked of it. And not in a bad way, right? But it reeked. And me just being someone who's very in tune with the subconscious mind and being able to read those language patterns, I freaking love language and messaging. I could tell he really did have this fear of being wrong. So he wrote back this super, super long post paragraph and went completely off topic. Then threw in a random example that had nothing to do with really what we were talking about, something completely out of context of what we were talking about. In fact, I think I'm going to pull it up. And I am over here like, man, maybe he'll listen to this podcast one day, whatever. I don't even care. I'm in my I don't give a shit era. And I think this is a great learning opportunity, so I'm going to share it. But I'll paraphrase too. Basically, he was saying he thinks that a salesperson, he feels it's right to at least dig into the reason why, even if it doesn't result in the sale, because they really might have a fear that they need help overcoming. And yes, while that is true, what is your intention? He literally said, even if it doesn't result in a sale, if you're thinking I'm not going to make a sale, then why waste your time and bother? It's because you are trying to get a sale. The only reason why you would try to overcome an objection on a sales call, in the context of a sales call, is because you want to get a sale. Now, do not come at me and be, no, I'm just a really good coach and I really care about them. A sales call is not the time to coach. In that context, it is not the time to coach. And I will give you another example in what I replied as to why, right? So then he gives me an example of saying that he decided he was going to stop something. I'm not going to go into details. He said he was going to stop something. He said, for example, I decided I was going to stop something a while ago. And it was my friends around me that held a mirror to my face and forced me to confront what I've been willingly blind to. Even if that isn't the best example for this topic, I see the salesperson as an individual that facilitates that change that one has been holding off. No, you're not. That's not the point of sale. That's the point of coaching. Okay, I'm getting fired up. Do you see that? It is not your job as a salesperson. It's not your job as a salesperson. That is your job as a coach, not a salesperson. And coaching and selling is not the same. Okay? So then it says, not because they are a flawed person, but because they are human like all of us. And we aren't exactly the best at doing what's best for themselves all the time. Yes, that's true. However, again, you're talking about an objection on a sales call, right? And then he said, let me know what you think of that. So I will read exactly what I wrote. And I told him, first, I congratulate him. I said, first, congratulations on that decision. What an amazing step you took. So I said, I totally get what you're saying as well and totally agree with you in that context that you're talking about. Everyone is different, of course. The way I was trained in sales is that sales call is not a time for coaching. It's a time for giving information to make a decision for both of us. And I totally agree with this. I'm going to elaborate on it. on a sales call, the only intention is for you as the seller to make sure that person is a perfect fit for your offer. Again, if you've been around me for a while, you know that I don't even do sales calls anymore. I basically create everything I need to create in my marketing. I spell it out. This is the thing I see, huge thing I see in the marketing world, is that people use their marketing to attract and entice, right? It's putting out all the flavors of ice cream, but then people can't taste test it. So if you're making them buy a whole scoop of ice cream and they might not even like it. I don't know why I'm using ice cream examples so much today, but here we go. In my opinion, in your marketing, you need to specifically state who is the best fit for this person. And when I say that, and I'll do a whole other podcast on this, believe me, I talk about it all the time. It is not, oh, you're coachable. You are someone who wants to raise the collective consciousness. No, that is not your ideal client. You need specifics. I call this my 5A method. I will do a whole podcast on this, but you need to get into their actual tangible assets. What do they own? What do they have? What actions have they taken in the past that will allow them to be a great fit client? Again, I will do a whole podcast. Please come back and listen to it because it's worth its weight in gold. Then what are their abilities? What are the skills that they need to have in place to be an ideal client for you? What is their awareness? What do they already know? And what are their thought patterns? I use the example all the time, and you'll hear me use it all the time. If you are an email marketing strategist, you do not need to attract people who believe email marketing is dead. So stop going out there in your marketing being like, email marketing is not dead. Duh. Your people already know email marketing is not dead. You do not have to convince them. And that's just, and even using that same example and the objections, that would be like getting on a sales call. And someone would be like, I don't even really believe that email marketing works. Or I believe your service is too expensive because I don't really believe email marketing works. You wouldn't be like trying to dig into their money mindset and trying to convince them that email marketing does work. No, that's not your fucking ideal client. Stop getting on a call with them. No, you're not going to want to work with them, right? If you have to convince them to it, you'll convince them through it. I really don't say the F-bomb so often, but I am so fired up about this. I could go on and on, right? Okay, so yes, I do not believe that a sales call is the time for coaching. I believe it is a time for me as the seller, just using me in context, to figure out if you are a perfect fit client. And I talk about that in my marketing. So it had eliminated sales calls. I rarely do sales calls, but it's eliminated that. And I really spell out, and then I spell out the specifics of my offer already in my content. I tell you how long it is, how much it is, what is the actual process that we're going to go through, right? And I talk about this having a signature process, and you can trademark that, right? I've used different ones for different offers or different programs that I've run, but having a very specific method that you walk them through and that you can talk about in your content, right? And all of that is done in my marketing. So it basically eliminates sales. The only reason why I would get on a sales call is to ask the potential client questions to make sure they are a good fit. And it's also a time to give any information maybe I was not super clear on and that they do have questions about. And it is a time for them to make a decision. And that decision can be, I need to think about it. Or that decision can be a no. That decision can be a yes. Right? All you just need them to do is make a decision. That's it. That's the only job of a sales call. So I'm going to keep reading. So I said, the way I was trained, blah, blah, blah. It's time for giving information to make a decision for both of us. Totally not the norm, I know, but 1,000% worked for me. I also started eliminating sales calls altogether when I started giving more information to my marketing to begin with. That allowed those let me think about it people to actually think about it without having me to jump on a call first. Do you know how much time that saved me? Just letting the let me think about it people think about it in the background. And when they were ready, they would reach out to me, ready to work with me, not ready to jump on a sales call and ask me more information and have me convince them. No, they were already sold. They were already sold, right? So again, I'm gonna use an ice cream shop example again. I give a lot of examples. It would be like you walking into an ice cream shop, seeing all of these flavors and none of the flavors are marked. And you have to ask me what flavor each one is, and I'll tell you. But you can't taste it. I'm just going to tell you that that's cookie dough and that's strawberry, right? No, if you were an ice cream shop, you would want to put all of your flavors out there. You'd want everyone to know, hey, this is cookie dough. This cookie dough is a vanilla-based ice cream that has chunks of chocolate chip cookie dough in it. You would even describe it, right? So that person would know, ooh, what's that? Ooh, that sounds good. They would see it and say, oh, that sounds good. I know exactly what that is. It's vanilla ice cream with chocolate chip cookie dough chunks, right? You would know that would be your marketing. It would be stupid for an ice cream shop to market their ice cream with not telling you the name and not allowing you to do taste tests of that ice cream. This is what your marketing should be doing. Okay. So yeah, that's what it is allow the let me think about it people to actually think about it and not jump on a call first. And said, of course, I'm not saying that my way is the right way or the only way because I do not believe my way is the right way or the only way. Do I think it is the right way for my people? Yes, but it's not the right way for everyone and that's fine. And is it the best way? There could be a way better. Who knows? Is it the only way? Absolutely not. I said, I'm just offering a different perspective. So of course, you could tell this dude just really did not like this very much. He went back and I was, oh my God, I did not realize I was going to be writing novels on a Facebook post today, but here I am. So he was, I need you to help me understand this more. Overcoming someone's fear, I don't think is coaching. For instance, I spent a ton of money on a sports coaching of some sort. I'm not going to say. And he said, I had a fear of spending the money. I spent a ton of money on this type of coaching, a sports coaching. I'll just say basketball. I'm going to say basketball. It's not basketball. But anyways, on money on basketball coaching. But I had a fear of spending the money to get the coaching. The fear had nothing to do with the coaching itself, but it was about spending the money. If you've built enough value in the marketing where the prospects can see that the value is much greater than the cost, that is in itself overcomes that fear. I don't see any problem with that at all. But if it isn't done in the marketing, do you disagree that the salesperson should have the conviction to overcome these concerns so that the prospect has a better life in the future? Again, we're talking about the context of a sales call. The original post was a context of the sales call. And again, he was like, if it isn't done in marketing, it should always be done in marketing. You have shitty marketing if it's not done in marketing. And that's what I'm here to help you change. So he said, if it isn't done in marketing, do you disagree that the salesperson should have the conviction to overcome these concerns so that the prospect has a better life in the future? The thing is, if that statement were true, yes, they should have the conviction to overcome concerns. But again, that is done by coaching, not during a sales call. Right? And on the other hand, you aren't doing it on a sales call, in the context of a sales call, you are not doing it because you want them to have a better life in the future. You're doing it because you want them to say yes to your flipping offer in the context of a sales call. So I'm going to read my reply. I said, maybe this is where the disconnect or misunderstanding is, as I don't think I was totally clear. Maybe I thought I was, but maybe I weren't. In the context of being on a sales call, I totally believe that pointing out and helping someone overcome their fear is coaching. As stated above, and I know totally not the norm, I believe a sales call is just for both parties to ask qualifying questions to make sure that they are even a great fit, a way to give information not already given in their marketing, and for them to make a decision. The decision can be, let me think about it. I don't see that as an objection. I see that as a decision. I see that as a very wise person who values taking their time, making very big and expensive decisions. I honor that actually, as I am someone who does that well. And I will say this, I have the belief and trust that the people who are for me make great decisions. If they need time to think about that great decision, great. Wonderful. Take all the time you need. I believe you make great decisions and I believe you're going to make the best decision for you. And whether that's to work with me or not, is totally fine. I have nothing. Now, here's the thing. When you subconsciously believe that no means something about you, that's when you're going to try to convince them. That's when you're going to try to overcome those objections. That's when you're going to try and make it about you getting the sale and not about the person having a better life in the future. No, that's not what you're doing. You don't have a conviction to address the concerns because you want them to have a better future. You have a conviction to address the concerns so that you can feel better about yourself making a sale and going back and telling everybody, hey, I just made this high amount of money sale. Some of you guys might feel really triggered right now, and that's okay. You're human. We all have egos. Sometimes our egos are out there, and we've been taught this. This is what we've been taught in marketing and sales, basically our entire career. I was in corporate marketing. It didn't matter. It was just push it on them, sell it. It doesn't matter. Okay. So then I said, I honor that actually as I'm someone who does that as well. And on the rare occasion I do get that, I usually say, I totally get it. Of course you need time to solidify your decision and know that you will make the best decision for you because you make great decisions. I already know you make great decisions. Either way, I'm happy to have had this call with you. And I truly am. Again, I don't really do sales calls anymore, but when I have done them in the past, if someone just, even if someone was a no, I actually don't. And a lot of the times, I never really got no's from them. It was me telling them they weren't a great fit because I know who my ideal client is. I still supported them in every way. We were still friends on Facebook. I constantly commented, did things with them. I was just genuinely happy to know this person and what they did. And I would even refer them. That could just be my Leo 11th house coming out, that I love to connect people and give people the spotlight. I don't know, but it's just a different energy. Anyways, I said, as for your last question, again, it is in the context, guys. Context matters. If you're looking at, let me think about it as an objection to making a sale, then you are subconsciously saying there is a reason this person doesn't want to buy from me and I need to figure it out so that I can convince them to buy so that I can feel better. It's all me-based, all ego-based, and this is all happening subconsciously. This will sometimes come out more of convincing energy to the potential client instead of I care for you and I want you to have a better life. Because again, context of a fucking sales call is not to coach. I know there's a lot of people out there who will totally disagree with me and they probably make way more money than me, but guess what? They're probably working with a lot of clients that they don't enjoy working with. And that's my biggest thing. I would rather work with 5 amazing clients that light me up, that I get to literally love what I do every single day. That's the point of being in entrepreneurship, than working with 100 people that I don't really love working with, who aren't amazing, incredible clients, and who actually don't get the best results because we're not the best fit. I would rather have 5 amazing clients who get the most outrageously incredible results that I can go out and talk about in my marketing, right? Over 100 that just get mediocre results and that aren't great clients to work with. That's the whole point, right? And when you're subconsciously trying to overcome objections on a sales call, you are subconsciously trying to make it all about you. So then I said, even though that may not be your intention, because listen, guys, it's not your intention. It's not your intention. Again, it's happening subconsciously and it's your ego. You don't know. You're not a bad person. I'm just pointing this out to you because it was something I dealt with for a really long time. And I realized, oh my gosh, I see this pattern. And I was stuck making a lot of damn money, but working with clients that I literally had anxiety over 24/7. They would message me on Voxer and my whole nervous system would get tight. I'd go in flight or flight, freeze or fight or flight or freeze. So I said, even though this is not your intention, in the context of it being in a sales relationship, that is usually how they subconsciously feel. I also said, I am a certified hypnotherapist. And one of the biggest subconscious blocks I see in entrepreneurs is the fear of being misunderstood. Let me tell you that. And you probably are like, oh my God, yeah. Because you guys have a really big fear of being misunderstood or, and it, this branches from it, not being recognized for who you truly are, therefore being misunderstood. Now, I work with a lot of Aries and a lot of Taurus clients, those go-getters. If you're not an Aries or Taurus, totally fine. But I find my clients usually have Aries, Taurus, or Leo in one of their big threes. Usually, those are my clients, right? And a lot of you Leos out there, if you have Leo anywhere, you're the celebrity. However, you have a really big fear of not being recognized. You like the attention, and that's good. You deserve that damn attention because you guys are awesome. But you have a really big fear of not being recognized or being, again, not being recognized as who you truly are. So being recognized as something else, right? That would be like you're thinking you're this really amazing person, and one person comes along and tries to cancel you and say you are an a-hole. And you're like, no, I'm not an a-hole. So you're being recognized for something you're not. Therefore, you're being misunderstood. And my Aries people, oh my God, I love my Aries people. My Aries and Taurus people. Aries is the fire sign. Taurus is my other earth sign. I have 5 Capricorn placements. I am a Capricorn. I have so much Capricorn energy. I love, love, love this because you guys are very direct, whatever. But sometimes you guys are so direct that, again, you get recognized and you're misunderstood. You get made wrong, right? And you're like, oh, heck no. That's when you get fired up, right? So it's this fear of being misunderstood. So how does this tie in? I basically said, as a certified hypnotherapist, where'd it go? I got to find it again. Yeah, I said, as a certified hypnotherapist, one of the biggest subconscious blocks I see in entrepreneurs is the fear of being misunderstood, aka thinking that you are a liar or thinking something wrong, that there's something that you're wrong, basically. That like what you say, who you are is the biggest one. Because Aries and Leo, you guys are both really big on your identity and Taurus too. You think that you're being made wrong. Who you are is wrong. You take that crap personally, right? And so I said, and so when, and again, it's like you're lying. I can't tell you how many clients I've had of mine where we've done hypnotherapy sessions. And the thing that comes out is that this core wound that they think people are going to think they are a liar, that it's all an act or it's all a front. My Leos think they're so popular, they're celebrity status, but they really aren't showing who they truly are. So they feel like they're lying a little bit, right? My Leos really want to be a little bit more disruptive. They don't really want to be everybody else, but they are, and they have a lot of status in being kind of like everybody else, and not in a bad way, but it's just, they think they talk about the same things a lot of people talk about, and they're really big, and a lot of, usually they're really well known, and they just have a really hard time really truly showing who they are. So they subconsciously believe they're lying about themselves, or that if people really knew who they are, they're then going to call them a liar because they haven't been showing that. And then with the Aries, you guys are just so bold. You just really don't give a flip what people think, right? That's the energy you bring off. But on the inside, if someone tells you you're wrong, or someone tells you you have this fear of being misunderstood, or they believe that you're lying, woo, let me tell you what, woo, you guys pop off, basically. You said, or what I said was, AKA, they think they're lying. And when you are not honoring their decision off the bat, they will subconsciously feel misunderstood and that you think they're lying. So I want you to think about that, especially guys, anyone listening to this, if you're on the other end of that sales call and you told someone, I need to think about it, and they immediately started hounding you and trying to coach you and trying to dig into your mindset and not just take your word at face value, you're going to think that they think you're a liar, that you have all these limiting beliefs you need to overcome, or that you're not truly being honest with them. Because that's what it is. That's really, truly what it is that when anyone approaches you with the, I need to think about it, you don't think they're being honest. You're like, I have to get down to the bottom of it. They're not telling me the truth. They're not telling me the whole truth. What if they really were? What if they really, truly were an emotional authority like me and they just need to think about it? And what if you could honor that? I love the people who think about it because that means they're actually going to take action in an aligned way. People who just take random freaking action, right? People who just make split decisions and random action, they end up regretting a lot, right? And then they go into inaction. What if you just absolutely honored the person who said, I need to think about it? I love my people who need to think about it. Hell yeah, that's great. Thank you. That means when we work together, and when you come back and work with me and you tell me yes, when we work together, I know you're not going to go out there and make rash decisions. You're going to make calculated decisions. You're going to make decisions that are 100% in alignment for you, and we're not going to have to course correct all the time. You're going to be an easy freaking client. And because I trust that you make great decisions and that you took the time to make this great decision for you, that you're going to also make great decisions in the future. And I want to work with people who make great decisions and who believe in themselves and honor themselves to make those decisions. That's the best freaking client. It's not an objection. It's freaking awesome. So then I said, this is also why I stated above that I believe a sales call is not the time for coaching. if you want to address the underlying reason, the example you gave about being afraid of spending the money, that is where you would do it in your marketing. That way you are creating the shift before anyone even gets on a call with you or even eliminate calls altogether. I also want to say this too, that the know, like, and trust factor that a lot of people preach, yeah, I think there's surface trust, right? I can trust what you're doing. Like I can trust that the mailman is going to bring me my mail and I don't know the mailman, right? But to me, I feel a lot of the times it's unsolicited advice. Okay, so I've gone all over the board with this. Again, I told you I was fired up and I knew I was going to go all over the board. But basically, long story short, the guy came back and was, I see what you're saying. I agree somewhat, but basically I don't agree that a sales call isn't a time for coaching because in sales, your logic mind might apply more, especially for a more sophisticated and well-educated audience. And then he went on to give another example of walking into a mattress store. And he was, I walked in not having any idea of what mattress I wanted. And he even said, I wanted the salesperson to lead me into buying the best mattress for me after getting to know what I wanted. In real life, I wanted to go with a mattress that I already knew because I've had it before, but she gave me her opinion on a different, more expensive one that was, in her opinion, a better fit for me for a number of reasons. And I did go with the more expensive one, and I'm now really glad that she added her opinion. And even if it meant more commission for her, I can't see anything wrong with what she did. Again, do you see the nuances? He said, I can't see anything wrong. Again, remember I said earlier, it's this whole subconscious of I don't want to be wrong. And he thought with me originally replying to him that I was making him wrong, when not at all, I was giving him a perspective from the other side to actually show him, hey, dude, you don't have to be upset about this. Sometimes people just say that because they're like me and they really want to honor that decision. They really want to actually think about it and give themselves time. But he thought I was making him wrong because I did not agree with him. And do you see how his energy immediately tried to make me wrong because he had a fear of being made wrong? He thought I made him wrong. So then he started making himself wrong again, making me wrong for replying. And then he also was making the ideal client wrong or the client wrong for saying the objection in the first place. So his fear of being wrong was spewing on everybody else being wrong. And I get it because that used to be a really big fear of mine. Excuse me, I had to take a drink of my coffee. I used to be a really big fear of mine, sometimes still is, right? Again, I'm very much my ideal client, right? I'm a Capricorn, I'm that earth sign. I don't like to be told, you know, that I'm wrong, but I also believe there's a difference between being wrong and being different, right? There's such different energies. And you can tell me I'm different and that's okay, but don't make me wrong for being different. There's a difference between being wrong and being different, right? And I think we just have different opinions. You're not wrong. I'm not wrong. You're not right. I'm not right. There is no right or wrong, right? That's subjective. And that's just very low level thinking in my opinion. We're just different. And I was offering you a different perspective in the context of showing you that, hey, dude, this is not a big issue. You don't have to feel bad about this. So anyways, he basically went on to say, I can't see anything wrong with that. Now, I also want you to realize that he did not talk about coaching in this. He talked about an opinion. Coaching and opinions are not the same thing. If you are coaching and bringing your opinion in it, you're making it about you and not about the client. And coaching is about the client. I really want you to hear that really quickly. If you're bringing your opinion to the coaching, you're making it about you and you being right versus you helping the client. I can coach anyone on anything because I don't bring my opinions to it, which is why I'm not over here being, you're wrong for doing this. I'm showing him a different perspective. And I even say, in my opinion, I'm not coaching him. I'm letting him know this is my opinion. Now, if I was coaching him, that would have been a whole different conversation, right? But it's not my job to coach him because I'm not his coach. But if I were to coach him in the original post, I would have said something along the lines of, what are you making the quote unquote objection of, I need to think about it, mean about you? Because that's what it is. At the end of the day, you're making it mean that they don't want to work with you, that you're not good at your job, you're not good at sales, you can't go and make money now, right? A lot of times it does come down to money. You're not making money, and it puts you in scarcity mode. That's usually what it is. Again, it's all about you. So again, and then he said, going back to the think about it objection, if a salesperson has the right intentions and the prospect is looking to be led, wouldn't it be a disservice in a situation like that to be neutral? And I said, I copied what he said. He said something around, your logic might apply more, especially for more sophisticated and well-educated audience. And I put, yes, this is what I'm all about. Only getting on sales calls with people who are pre-sold and having my marketing do the selling for me, right? And to answer your last question, if a salesperson has the right intentions and this prospect is looking to be led, wouldn't it be a disservice in a situation like that to be neutral? And I said, it's a disservice to get on a call with anyone who is actually not ready to buy in the first place. In my opinion, again, in my opinion, for everything that I stated above, because I'm looking at things on a subconscious level. So then I said, oh, you know, blah, 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 blah. I lost my spot. You don't really get, okay. So I said, pre-sold and having my marketing to selling. In responding to your original post of talking about the let me think about it objection, this is what I was implying. You don't really get that objection if you have sold really well in your marketing. And when you do get it, don't look at it as an objection. Look at it as a way to trust potential client is going to make the best decision for them without probing or getting into coaching why they are saying that. Like I said, I always say, let me think about it because I really do need time to process my emotions as an emotional authority in human design. Then I said, as far as your mattress example, there is a difference between coaching and giving opinions. You were asking her opinion and she gave you her opinion. If you had said, it's too expensive, I don't want that. And she replied something like, well, why do you believe it's too expensive? And tried to dig into your money mindset and coach you into it. Then that would have pressured you and you would have probably wanted to leave the store to think about it as an excuse and not an actual decision. Amen. Can we just really think about that for a second? I thought that was a great response. However, I'm assuming she didn't say that. I'm assuming she probably told you why she loved the more expensive one and why she had so many other people love it. And if you would have said it's too expensive, she would have probably replied, I get it. Let's see if we can find something comparable in your budget. Comparable, whatever that word is, which ironically happened to be in my husband. Last year in a mattress store. And in the end, we did end up going with the more expensive one too, because the sales associate didn't try to coach us on our money mindset. We took the time to think about it and sleep on it, pun totally intended, and come back the next day and got the one we wanted. He has not replied. Now, again, this is getting really long, but I don't care. It's good and you need to hear it. All of this to say, your sales calls, if you find yourself constantly trying to overcome objections on your sales calls, you're in the right place. You need to keep listening to me. I will toot my own damn horn. You need to start listening to what I'm saying, right? Am I saying I'm right? No. Am I saying my way is the only way? No. All I'm saying is I'm going to offer you a different perspective that maybe just rings your bell, maybe just resonates with you, maybe feels like a breath of fresh air. Because I have mastered selling high ticket without a sales call. And my clients have too, because of the way that I've shifted the way I think about sales calls to begin with, and the way I just think about my ideal client. It is not in anyone's service to get on a call with someone. It's not in service to you or in service to somebody else, to the potential client, to get on a call, an hour long, usually sales call, and try to coach them into your offer. Because when they do end up saying no, you're going to make it mean something about you. You're going to get all upset, right? And you're doing yourself a disservice and you're doing them a disservice. That's one thing I learned very early on in this entrepreneurial journey, is that time is the most precious and valuable resource that we have. And by setting up very strict boundaries for my time and knowing what is the best use of my time and having that strategy and having those processes in place to really amplify my time. Guys, I only work maybe 4 hours a day, and not even that. And I don't work on Friday. So I work 4 hours a day, Monday through Thursday. And so that's 16 hours a week. And so that means a lot of those hours I'm on coaching calls. The other hours I'm creating content or marketing, or I'm doing other back-end things. And I'm a one-woman show. Right? I built a multiple six-figure business, one-woman show. I used to have a VA, and then she was only part-time, and she ended up getting a full-time job. And it was so exciting for her. I loved it. But yeah, I've been a one-woman show. I'm very strict with my time, and you should be too. And I realized that I used to think being strict with my time was being selfish and not, I don't want to say, it was being mean to other people. It wasn't being a service to other people. No, it's in the best service, because I can't tell you how many of my clients have told me, I loved that I did not have to get on an hour-long sales call with you to get to know each other better and then make a decision at the end of the call. I literally could just message you and you asked me a few questions and then you decided if I was a great fit or not. And I could take my time with it. And then also what happens is I really value speed. I value getting shit done. I value really getting to the meat and potatoes when we work together. You might think otherwise because I have really long podcast episodes and I tend to go off in different directions. But when I'm working with you, we get on a call, we get down to business, because I know you have a lot of speed too, right? If we can get the same amount of work accomplished in an 8-week period versus 6 months, you would be so down for that because you value your time. Gosh, it's about to start storming here, guys. I just heard some thunder rolling. I love storms at the beach. We live right across from the waterway. So not the wave side of the ocean, but the sound side in a marina. So I get to see the boats in and out every day and it's gorgeous. And I love the thunderstorms. It's just great. I know I'm that weirdo. But anyways, okay, I'm going to end this pod, but I hope that this example really was beneficial for you. And I really hope this shifted your perspective in some way. And I also want you to know that if you felt a little triggered by this, good, because if you aren't triggered, you won't change, right? If you aren't triggered, you won't change. I just have this passion to do marketing and sales and business just in a completely different way, because what benefits others benefits you, right? Anyways, okay, guys, that's it. This podcast got super long. I hope that you all have an amazing rest of your week. I'm so excited and so happy to be back on the podcast, No Farting Around Show. So I will see you in the next episode and hope you have the most wonderful rest of your day. Bye. Thanks for listening to the No Farting Around Show. It's been an absolute blast making a big stink with you. If you find yourself gasping for more, then come join me over on my socials. Links are below. If you enjoyed this episode, don't fart and dart. Please leave a review. It would be greatly appreciated. Cheers to breaking wind, barriers, and I'll see you in the next episode.